You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
Okay, so we're actually getting really close to the end of this series, and today we're talking about walking in step with the Spirit, which really is kind of a sum up, right? Like we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit and being in the vine and having God's character. We've talked about the gifts of the Spirit and the power that flows through us and how we have the ability to change the physics of reality with God, right? And we've talked about praying in the Spirit and how God can drop things into our hearts that there's no way that we could know. And last week, we talked about how God speaks and how just throughout the day, the Spirit talks to us in different ways, and we have to be in tune with that. And so today we're going to talk just a little bit about, like, how all that comes together. Nick and I have a fun little delusion in our life. It's called a family walk. And we get really excited about it. We'll have dinner. We get together, you know, I cook something. He gets home from work. Kids are like, Daddy, Daddy, oh. We eat. Then we're going to take a family walk together. And in our heads, it's we're going to stroll through the sunshine, down the street, together with our beautiful children. And the people will look at us and they'll go, oh, what a great family. And we'll just enjoy each other and the weather and make memories. We'll take the dog with us. It'll be great. Like I said, that's a delusion. And I know it's a delusion because it's insanity. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, right? And that's what we do every single week, multiple times a week sometimes, right? We think it's going to be this great thing. It isn't. Ever. Ever. Now, Abraham is almost 2 and very independent and running. He is the Forrest Gump of the world. He is running everywhere. And so as soon as you let him out, he's out. And he won't ride in a stroller anymore. And so you've got running. And then somewhere back here, you've got watching the butterflies with Lily and Grace, right? And so you've got, I'm here with Nick, and we're trying to hold hands and have this whole thing, because the delusion is still alive. We can just yell enough, right? And Abraham is almost into the middle of the street up here, and Ellie likes to wiggle in between Nick and I as if she's like the third person in the triangle. And then you've got Lillian back here just, you know, like thinking about what she's going to draw from our walk when we get home and watching the sparkles. And Rosalie generally just runs back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like inciting trouble with whoever she can, right? So no matter what you do, if you speed up to catch Abraham, you lose Rosalie, or you lose Lily. And if you slow down, Abraham just dies, like a bus just like right? It's never fun. And the whole time you're like, hey, stop it, come here, wait, stop. Sit down, wait, stop, come back. Lillian, come on, use your feet. And this poor dog, Abraham insists on holding the dog's leash, right? Mm. And he'll just, like, let go of it. And it's one of those retractable ones. But it's like, the snacks are in the butt every once in a while, probably 2-3 times a walk, right? And she just, like, sits here and cowers. It's awesome. And then, you know, Rosalie gets about halfway through the walk, and she hasn't annoyed anyone enough, so she comes and, like, rips the leash out of Abraham's hand, and then he cries. It's a delusion. It just is. Life can look like that when we are not in step with the Holy Spirit. God gave us everything. The Bible talks about all things are ours. God gave us all the things that we've talked about this whole time, everything. And yet, a lot of times the Holy Spirit has this idea of this beautiful walk that we're going to take and the memories that we're going to make, and we're headed for danger with the bus, or we're sitting back here on our own time, or we're just instigating You know what? It happens. Some of y'all, I'm not going to point fingers, but it happens. Sometimes we just instigate, right? And if we are not in step with what God is doing, we do not create the world that He has called us to create. And so today we're just going to talk a little bit about what that picture looks like the big picture of it. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to skip around a little. We're going to start in chapter 4, do some in 5 and 6, and a little in 10. It'll be good times. What is the point of a walk for our family? Our point, Nick and my point, as we're like, let's go take a walk. We have these thoughts in mind because we see the big picture of our kids are growing up, and these are the times that we're going to spend together, and these are the things that ground us as a family, and these are the memories they're going to... We have this picture. And that's how the Holy Spirit is, right? We talked last week about the role of the Holy Spirit, that He is here to reveal all truth to us. He is here to show us what the Father is doing. Jesus talks about, I'm going to talk to Him, and He's going to talk to you. I'm going to tell Him what you need to know. He's like a walkie-talkie, right? He straddles our world and God's world. He is the one who sees the entire picture. He is the one who has the whole plan in mind. He is the one who bridges kingdom and world. And the cool thing is that we get to do that too. Because He does it through us. He lives in us. And we become that in the world if we stay in step. If my kids would stay in step with me on the walk, we would have good memories and life would be happy. And we would all go home and have ice cream and it would be awesome. There is a goal here. And there is a goal in life if we stay in step with the Spirit. And so, when we are in step with the Spirit, we see things from His perspective. I was on Facebook this week, and don't ever, I need to just delete it. So all it does is make me feel old and angry, generally. But this week, somebody posted a meme about it being like the 17th anniversary of The Matrix coming out. Yeah, some of you are like, I wasn't born then. Yeah, that's right. Our entire youth group was not born when The Matrix came out. Yes, this is why I'm having self-esteem issues. Matrix was a big deal to me when I was a kid. Like, it was like one of my favorite movies. It was one of those, like, when I was, well, I was actually probably in college at the time, high school-ish. I remember them using it in the youth group illustrations. Jesus, or will you take the blue pill and stay blind? Right? I remember it. It was awesome. But there's this scene in The Matrix that will forever be a picture of the kingdom to me. The Matrix is, for those of you that are too young to have any idea what I'm talking about, it's a movie. And it's about these people, or too old to have been into that at the time. I wasn't going to go there, but if that's how you feel, that's okay. The Matrix, yeah, too into homeschooling at the time, whatever you're doing, I don't know. I'm just saying, your kids would have, anyway.
Yeah.
So, it's this movie about, like, everything that we know in the world is a computer program. And we are actually, the robots took over the world, and they turned everybody into, like, batteries that power the world. And they plug into the back of your brain, and then, like, the computer creates a reality for you. So our whole lives is just this matrix. It's this computer-generated world that the computer tells us. And, like, you know, everything tastes like chicken because the computer doesn't know what stuff tastes like, so it just tells you that it tastes like chicken. Like, just different things like that. That's how we know that it's the matrix, right? And there are a few people that figure out that this isn't real. And they find a way to unplug themselves. And then they're in, like, what actually is the real world, right? And the cool thing is they can plug back into the matrix and impact what's going on in that computer world. And there's this girl. She's maybe 6 or 7, right? And the lead character runs into her at this thing, and she's holding a spoon. And all of a sudden, the spoon starts to, like, wiggle and wave. I mean, like, it's a solid metal spoon, right? And it, like, starts to almost, like, melt. And, like, and then all of a sudden, it just comes back to a spoon. And he's like, dude, how'd you do that? And she goes, I just had to realize that there is no spoon. Because she's understanding that the kingdom, that what is real is not what she's seeing. What is real, there is no spoon. It's a computer-generated thing. And so because it's computer-generated, because it's not real, I have the ability to change it. I have the ability to make it whatever I want. By the end of the movie, the guy's, like, walking on walls and, like, flying like Superman because he just realizes there is no laws of physics because it's a computer program. And honestly, like, I love that movie for that reason. Because kingdom is like that. God is outside of all of the constraints that we have. God is outside of time. He's outside of physics. He's outside of our daily lives and our emotions. He has the ability to come in and bring kingdom rightness wherever he is and whatever he does. And that's what the Holy Spirit is seeing. He's telling you when you feel trapped or when somebody else is struggling with something or somebody is sick and they have cancer and people die from cancer. That's what happens. God says, but there is no spoon. I'm bigger than cancer. And when we walk in step with the Holy Spirit and we see his plan and what he's doing, we look in on the program of what this world is and we can impact and change it. And so, because we can have that perspective, we can then have perspective in life. In the Matrix, the head guy, he becomes pretty much bulletproof. Like, seriously, they pump him full of bullets, and he doesn't die. Why? Because he knows it's not real. And we have that ability. When we see the kingdom from God's perspective, when we see things as though they should be, not as they are. We don't have to live trapped in this world anymore, staying in step with the Spirit. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, I'm in verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There's a different perspective when you straddle kingdom and world. You see what is unseen, and that has the power to change what is seen. I'm going to move to chapter 5, verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We don't live bound anymore. We are now empowered by the Spirit to do something totally different with the world. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on God's behalf, be reconciled to God. Boom. That is the point of the great walk that we are on. God created us to reconcile the two worlds that we straddle. God created us to reconcile, to bring those who are lost and dying and broken into the knowledge of the God that loves them. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The people around us were worth God's life. And he did not pay that in vain. He sent us to bring that reconciliation. Paul sees the world this way. He sees it as I'm part, as I stand in, as I walk in step with the Spirit, I'm part of reconciliation. I am part of bringing what God thought was so important that he would die for it into the people that need it. I get to be the bridge because I am in step with what the Spirit is doing. And so, as we move into chapter 6, verse 3, we put no stumbling block into anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Why? Because nothing in this world matters. What matters is kingdom. And so whatever we walk through, it doesn't matter because it's not real. There is no spoon, right? There is no spoon. God loves us and he sees us and our identity is in him and our power is in him and our character is in him and everything that we need is in our hands. And nothing that the world throws at us matters. So, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments and riots, in hard work and sleepless nights and hunger, in purity and understanding, in patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in speaking the truth, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left hand, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can spend your life running as fast as you can run, as far as you can go, trying to gain everything that this world has to offer. And you know what's going to happen? You're still going to get hit by a bus. You can chase and do all the things that you're supposed to do. You can seek to be known. You can seek to be regarded and to be loved. And you can seek to not be hurt and to avoid any kind of discomfort. You know what, though? In the end, it all tastes like chicken. In the end, it's all pointless. In the end, it all comes to nothing. Unless you see the reality that you are straddling. That you know what? Everybody in the world can regard you as unknown. You can come with all the wisdom of the kingdom and somebody can be like, who are you? And you know what? If your value rests in what they think of you, that's going to hurt. If your value rests on speaking what you see God doing, you are still valued. It don't matter. If you are known by him, no matter whether you are known. If you are misunderstood, as Paul was, by these other people, it didn't matter because he was doing what God called him to do. He had nothing. I mean, he talks later on about being like stripped of his clothes, walking around naked, right? Nothing, nothing to his name. And yet he possessed so much more than so many people that walked in darkness. His legacy is running on a couple thousand years. Still going strong, right?
Jesus.
Because when we stand in step with the Spirit, we are free. You know what? He got beat. All the apostles got beat. In Acts, what happened when they got beat? People got saved and they had a party. That's what happened. Why? Because they considered themselves worthy to carry the gospel. Why? Because the God that they love, the God that they serve, the mission that they are on, as they are Christ's ambassadors, as they are bringing reconciliation, they are modeling exactly what God did. He came down, and guess what happened? He got beat. And they are worthy to do as he did.
to reconcile and to love in the face of hate. And it breaks down walls when you love instead of hate. And it bounces to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Do you know how the girl bent the spoon? She had control of her thoughts. She was able to see what was unseen. She was able to not get bogged down in what was happening around her, to not get bogged down in the limitations, but to see the bigger picture of what God is doing. We are going to run up against strongholds everywhere. Cancer is a stronghold. It's not something that you just beat. Broken relationships are a stronghold. There are people who are so broken from years and years and years and years and years of what people have done and said to them. But you know what? We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have the ability in the Spirit to break the strongholds that no therapy, no medication, no amount of talking over coffee is ever going to break. And the Spirit speaks through us the words that need to be spoken. The Spirit speaks protection through us. I will never forget Vicky talking about the kid in Afghanistan with the antenna on his head. She was just praying for his head. Why? Because she was straddling reality and the world. I don't know why I'm praying for his head. God told me to pray for his head. And sure enough, that was exactly what she needed to be praying for, because he had, if you missed the sermon, he had a helmet. He was the radio guy. And his helmet had a huge antenna. And it was pretty much like a big target. Guess where we are, guys? Shoot here. And God needed somebody to be interceding. God needed somebody to be protecting. We don't fight with the world's tools. When we are in step with the Spirit, all things are in our hands. All power is ours. All character of God is ours. People can come at you and question you and hate on you and dislike you and treat you poorly. And you know what? They have no power over you. Because in kindness and in patience and in self-control, you become Jesus to them, who, though he had no sin, took our sin so that we could be reconciled. What if, as people hated on us, we took that so that they could be reconciled? If we've got an end goal in mind, if we see what God is doing, and we don't just live blind and run at our own pace and watch our own flowers, but we walk as he walks, we are bulletproof. And we are carrying weapons that demolish the bounds that people can't get out of. It's really fun. It's when Grace comes to me before church and says, "Hey, what's going on? Because God told me this." And overcome was the sign that he put on her heart, and it's true. All power and glory and victory is his, and there's nothing that can stand against God, because you know what? He created it all with his words. He said, "Tree, fight with that. I dare you. It don't happen." Everything is ours. And when we stand in step with the Spirit, our world changes. As we were in worship, right down that street, I can see it from here, is the mosque. Right down the street. Right down the street are people who
God died for people who he loves more than anything. People who we have a ministry of reconciliation to. Do you think it's an accident that we are going to serve really solid Somali tea? Like, a block from the mosque? We looked at buildings all over, everywhere. And we found this one. Because he has anointed us to bring good news.
Hallelujah.
To bring light to those who sit in darkness.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord.
God, I just pray, Lord, that you would teach us to be in step with you. God, that you would teach us to see the world as you see it. God, that you would teach us to get out of our own heads. God, to get out of our own bubbles. God, to get out of our own egos. God, to get out of our own agendas. God, that we would see our lives, our whole lives, not just our church lives, but every day, every word, every thought, every action, as a ministry of reconciliation. God, that we would be bulletproof because our security is in you. God, our life is in you. God, our power is in you. Our identity is in you. And what anybody else thinks or does doesn't matter. Because, God, we are here to bring kingdom to the dying. God, anoint your people. Change this world through us. In Jesus' name.